lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the extra day if you got it. Hopefully you got it. I know you enjoyed the college football because what a great opening weekend of the college football season. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
Well, yeah, I'm a little rusty. What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It was an outstanding weekend of just, man, I got so many like couch sores on my butt from not moving for 3 days, man.
You got bed sores over there?
Bed sores. Huh. Got my black lung from all the damn cigars. Obviously, a couple pounds from all the bush. But, yeah, boy, it was a great
college
fun week.
College football is
it's back,
baby.
But, no, it was a great weekend, Bunk. I mean, it started off, you know, Thursday. And then, obviously, Friday, we didn't get a chance to see. Shout out to Georgia Tech and that big win they got. And the score don't tell the bludgeoning that they put on Colorado like we talked about.
No, but I bet the bruises on Saturday morning.
Oh, Haynes King is not practiced yet.
No.
All right. This dude, I mean, if you ever want to watch just a damn hard-nosed football player, that's that dude. I love watching him play. Love how his teammates galvanize him. But, boy, I'm glad they got a cupcake this weekend because he needs a rest.
Yeah.
They can't win without him playing like that, though.
No, they can't.
Yeah.
And you saw it in the game because they got off to a tough start.
Yeah, man.
Like, and with all the, you know, kind of the momentum leading into the year and the expectations and enthusiasm and all that, it would have been a real bummer to have a dud in the opening game. And they turned the ball over a bunch of times in the first half and just kind of sputtered to the start. But they got it together in the second half, got a great stop there when they needed it most.
Right.
And then they put the ball in Haynes King's hands and with under 4 minutes.
Take us home.
He took him down the field. And look, that's what guys like that do at this point of their careers, right? Like, if they're going to win 8, 9 plus games this year, he's going to win you a handful of games like that.
Yes.
Because that very easily could have gone the other way.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
A lot of these games could have
gone. A lot of the games.
I know we're going to talk about a lot of them, but that's a big win.
It was a tough win. Yeah.
For them to get that win up in Colorado, and it's just a step in the right direction for what Brent Key and Tech wants to do, man. But we say the hype, and the most hyped up game was the Texas Ohio State game. Thought it was a good game. Thought it looked like first game, two good teams, not really having their footing yet, you know. And when you play, like I think back when Georgia beat Clemson, when we started that run, and that's what it looked like just find a way to win this football game. All right, offense, we're not doing it. Throw it to Brock Bowers. Let's not push it and put it in our hands our defense. Texas defense was outstanding.
They were.
They gave up the big play, obviously, but they were outstanding.
They did a really nice job.
Arch looked like he looked like a young quarterback, even though he's a junior. And I give all the credit to Matt Patricia in the defensive staff. Matt Patricia had him guessing and doing all these different things. And when you talk about going into an environment like the Horseshoe, I know they lost a lot, but damn it, they got a whole lot there talking about Ohio State.
Yeah, look, I mean, I know they lost a lot.
Yeah, but
that's one of the secondary.
Boy,
is
legit.
They're all NFL guys.
They're legit.
And a lot of them are first round NFL.
You know,
guys.
And but we talk about going either way. Hell, if they can push the tush,
that's right.
A couple times, Texas scores touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple different moments in the first half where Texas either didn't get that big fourth down or they played a little conservative.
Yes.
They were really kind of tight.
Yes.
Arch was tight, clearly.
Yes.
I mean, that play they ran to start the game.
Just dump it to the
flat. I'm sure they've run 1,000 times.
Just dump it.
He's made that throw a million times, and he spikes a 90-mile-an-hour fastball into the ground.
It's
like, okay, some nerves.
Yes.
And
rightfully so.
Which, yeah. There's going to be.
Rightfully so.
You know what I mean?
Rightfully so.
Everybody expects everybody to be, you know, national championship, Heisman Trophy caliber.
Because somebody on TV says it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's making his first start in the Horseshoe against the defending national champion.
It's going to be hard.
It's a big deal.
And they still, if a play here or play there goes, they win the football game.
That's right. There's a lot of things that happened in that game to me that won't happen to either one of those teams as the year goes on, partially because they're not going to be playing against a team of the caliber every single week.
Yes.
But, like, you know, Jeremiah Smith dropped a bunch of passes.
Yes.
He's not going to drop a bunch of passes. He doesn't do that.
Yes.
Arch made some some bad, nervy throws. He's not going to do that as the season goes on. He's going to get a little bit more. I think Sark was really conservative.
I think
with
he
the way
had
that they,
to be.
And maybe they had to be maybe because of Ohio State's defense.
Yeah, maybe he had to be. He didn't want to put the ball in harm. I mean, put Arch in harm's way or whatever, you know. But you can't coach scared in big games. You can coach to a point where you obviously you'll lose the game by coaching like that. But I thought, you know, this is a great matchup against two teams. And, you know, you go back to all those teams that lost in the big games. All of them still, to me, have an opportunity to win a championship.
I think that's right.
And I know Sark said it, you know, at his presser, basically the same thing like that. He's like, you know, no, there will be no more undefeated national champions, something like that. Which, I mean, you can still win it. And if anything shows you from last year, Clemson, who lost big time win for LSU, they made it to the playoffs last year with a different route, whatever, mm-hmm. but they made it. Nobody had a worse loss than Notre Dame last year, mm-hmm. and they in a damn national championship. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Notre Dame is still alive. That's a great win for Miami. I thought Carson Beck was great. I thought, but the same thing. If a couple of the plays go the other way, Notre Dame wins that game. Yeah. If this kid doesn't make an all-world catch, that's an interception.
What a catch.
It's an interception. Carson just throws it up there. Yeah. It's an interception.
And he was a transfer from LSU.
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
which is like, that was the craziest thing of the
weekend. Trying to keep up with these kids. Like, when the hell are you going there?
Because we listened to a handful of games on radio as we were out and about on Saturday. And then obviously you're watching all the games. And it's like, all right, 15-yard catch on first down by the transfer from Ole Miss. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Second down run, second and three up the middle. The running back from Texas Western is in there now starting at running. It's like every single player was a transfer.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. To me, it was more about, look, I mean, we'll talk about the, you know, the overreaction narrative storyline and stuff as the show goes on, but more than anything, it's about there was a few teams that you just didn't know going into because you hadn't seen them.
Right?
How could you know without having seen them with all the new faces? You didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. But Ohio State replaced a lot of losses to the NFL and looked really good. They look like they're going to be right back in the mix all season long, to no one's surprise. LSU has a defense.
Yes,
and
that guy
and Harold Perkins.
I swear, Andy, the first
playing how he's supposed to
play. The first defensive play, he was in coverage. I was like, no, the hell they did not learn. And this dude showed why 2 years ago he's best defensive player in college football. Mm-hmm. This dude is unreal. And that's why it was good. I thought. Yeah.
But I think Clemson's defense.
I think Clemson's
really good.
Defense, and thank you. I think they're really good. Also, Klubnik didn't have a Klubnik game.
No,
he didn't, and that's because of LSU's defense.
Yeah, a couple real bad throws.
They were all over him, and I thought. And that was my biggest thing for the game was like I didn't think that LSU's line could hold up against Clemson's defense line. They did a pretty good damn job. Mm-hmm. They did a pretty damn good job of doing that. And Nussmeier, he's an experienced quarterback, made some big throws down the stretch. But again. Didn't know that this was going to be this LSU team. And now I'm not taking anything away from Clemson because I'm still bullish on Clemson. And I still think they're going to be – well, no, I take it back. They're going to have competition now for the ACC. And I didn't know that until I watched the games because that team in Miami
– And how could you? How could you?
They know.
Yeah.
That team in Miami, they got some hosses.
They got a defense.
They got some hosses. They got some edge rushers. Well, I saw warming up before the game with my former teammate, Hall of Famer Jason Taylor. Okay. You know, they got playmakers on offense.
Yep.
They got a quarterback that if he's protected, Carson Beck will tear your ass up.
He looked really good.
He looked good.
Really
moving in that first touchdown, slide in the pocket, it was just outstanding.
Yep.
And I forgot, but Gus Bus in Florida State – with a quarterback like that, because one thing about Gus is a brilliant, innovative offensive coach.
Yeah.
And he's even better when he got a Juju bug at quarterback.
Yeah, he's got Nick Marshall.
All over again.
He went to the national championship with that guy.
All over again.
Yeah. Tommy Castellanos, of all the things that happened this weekend, and a lot of fun stuff happened this weekend, there was nothing more entertaining to me than that guy saying what he said in the summer, having Alabama react the way that they reacted.
Yes.
And then him, because it was the first drive. He went in on the first drive and kept one and made a couple guys miss and got tackled on Alabama sideline. And he said something to him like,
I don't know.
All day, guys. This is about to be all day. I hope you're ready for this. And then he gave it to
Andy,
him all day.
They physically just beat up. And the thing with Alabama was this, and I know a lot of people pointed it out, you didn't beat up Alabama.
Not like that.
You didn't run away from Alabama. They're coming 11. They were so – it seemed like they just had a training camp practice the day before. They looked lethargic and everything. Proctor, the guy who we think all world of is at left tackle, he was getting
– he had a tough
– he had a rough
day.
One.
Yeah, Caden Proctor
of all people,
day.
Him?
Yeah.
You don't look –
the all world left tackle for Alabama.
He was getting worked
he
over
did.
There.
He did.
You know, and so – And then, obviously the overreaction, I mean, the game wasn't over now. So I buyout. His buyout is this. Like, damn.
Now, I will say.
Like, damn.
Right, obviously. Damn. Again, I get it. It's Alabama. Everyone was trying to, like, talk themselves into last year being last year. And they're like, all right, this year is this year. And then to come out and look like that.
Yes.
So I get the overreaction.
Yes.
But I will say, like, when Nick Saban teams did look pedestrian, it didn't happen much.
No.
It was against some quarterbacks that played like Tommy Castellanos.
And that's the same thing that this defense that Nick has brought and changed over and over. We run it up at Georgia. Number one, first round wide receivers and dual threat quarterbacks always give us problems. Always give us problems. And you saw that basically what happened because Castellanos, he was just, I mean, they were just dealing.
It was awesome.
Alabama wasn't tackling. They showing they're not hustling to the football. I mean, it was so many things that just went wrong. And I think that's why I said, I know I love me some Clemson, but damn it, what I saw from Miami and what I saw from Florida State, again, I don't know who the best team in the country is. That's what I love about when I was coming to work. And I was like, I know they're going to have the ranking there. I don't know who the best team in the country is.
I think the most impressive win that I saw over the weekend was, maybe there's two, but I think the if I had to pick one, it's LSU.
Oh, great win.
Going into Clemson.
What you call it, Bo? The fake deck.
They went into fake death valley.
And it's not even a valley.
Not even a valley.
Come on. At least get your geography right.
Not even a valley.
No, but I mean, to go in there, and again, I think Clemson is as good pretty much as I thought they were. They have some flaws, but it's week one. They're going to be able to work on some stuff. I think for them to go in there, you know what the opening week, they can say what they want to say. You know what the opening week meant because they hadn't won one under Brian Kelly. They hadn't won one since Joe Burrow. To go in there against that team and do it defensively.
Yes.
Because the offense wasn't great. They were okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored enough points.
Because Clemson's defense is great.
But they got stop after stop, and they, especially on that final drive, to come up big on fourth down, and it was Harold Perkins again coming from way the hell over there to track down Klubnik, who's an athletic guy who can move a little bit. To get him flushed out and get him to throw that incompletion on fourth down, like, I don't know, a lot of impressive stuff. I'm not trying to say anything was like less than or whatever, but LSU going in there and doing that with all that
win.
Was on the line, because we talked about it on Friday. They probably had the most on the line of these big matchups.
Great win.
Yeah, that's a big win.
I mean, it was so many just, you know, and we'll try to get to as many as possible. Like, I didn't know that, you know, obviously I always talk about the system that they run at Tennessee is like makes quarterback look great, but damn. Joey looked really good.
Yeah, Joey Hagler.
Joey
looked really good.
Good.
When he was at App, as long as he wasn't throwing it to the other team, he was a pretty good player.
Lenore Seller. Goodness gracious, man. Goodness gracious. Shout out to Vicar, one of the kids that my son Isaiah grew up with over at Central Carolina, takes a big punt return back from South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
so I was so happy to see that young man.
It was a classic Beamer ball win.
So happy to see that young man go out there
grinded
and do his thing.
Grinded it out on defense, made a big special teams play, put Jackson, it in the hands of their quarterback.
I didn't know Jackson Arnold could run like that.
Yeah. Neither did Baylor.
Didn't know he could run like that.
Neither did Baylor.
Great win for Auburn. That was a big win for Auburn, what they did. Obviously, the dogs took care of business. Didn't learn anything new about that.
There's not much to say about that.
I didn't learn nothing new about
that. We'll talk to Brandon Adams about that. Maybe some of the ins and outs of it. But, yeah, not a ton to say about Georgia's win other than, good.
Yeah.
Did what you're supposed to do. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
As far as we know.
Did the thing. So vanilla.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love my dog. That's born ass game.
The only thing I will say coming out of that game is I know that it was so vanilla.
Yes.
And, like, you're just going to do the most bland stuff that you know is going to work, and it did. Do they intend on doing a lot of that stuff with Gunnar Stockton in SEC games?
What's that?
Like a lot of the keeper stuff on the RPOs?
I have to.
Okay.
They're going to have to.
Because there was a lot of corners that he got on those Marshall defenders that he's not going to get on Tennessee
and that's the only thing I kept saying to myself. I was like, damn, that dude's sorry as hell.
No offense to Marshall, but they don't tackle too good.
They don't, and I'm going to just tell you, that damn Zachariah Branch, man.
He's fast.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, the two big plays he got and that's what I'm saying when you go against the competition you're going against. Like, the first screen he caught on third down, I was like, did y'all not know they was about to, Bobo was about to throw that to him?
Look at
the formation.
Well, and then the third, the touchdown, the Stockton looked at him and he was like, he's so wide open. I have to like make it seem like I'm not going to throw it to him.
Yes.
And then finally threw it to him and he still got the edge on every single player on the team.
Flying.
Now I think he'll be able to do that against
him.
That guy's.
Yeah, he's nice.
Special.
He's special.
Fast. All right. Touched on as much as we possibly could. Luckily, we have 3 hours, so we'll be able to talk about a lot of it. We'll come back, get to some of the highlights from the weekend. There were some other sports that went on as well. It's also week one in the NFL.
Yeah, man.
The Falcons have a game on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tons to get you caught up on and what's trending after this on Sports Radio 92.9.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And the game.
Situation. Tech has some work to do. King keeping it. First down and more. King breaks free. Past the 20. He'll take it all the way. Touchdown, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that's one of the big games that got the weekend started on Friday night. It feels like a million years ago, given everything that's happened since then. Abe was like, yeah, we haven't even talked about the Tech win yet. I was like, sure we did.
No, Friday. Yeah.
No, I guess we didn't, did we? Because that was Friday, and now it's Tuesday, and there's been a million games between now and then. But, yeah, really nice win to start the year. They go on the road. Colorado looked pretty good, too. I'll give them credit. Like, obviously, they've got some issues, but...
That quarterback, he missed some stuff.
He did.
Yeah.
But he can run around a little bit.
He can do a little something.
Kind of gave him some problems.
He can do a little something.
They were a little bit, I don't know. We talked about how Deion had bulked up the lines.
They're not as good at skill.
They're not as good at skill, yeah. But they were tougher in the trenches sure. A little bit more physical.
Well, offense, defensively, no, because they were getting gashed and got bludgeoned by that run game of Georgia Tech and what they want to do offensively. We talked about earlier, like Haynes King, they have to win that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this going to be a – but he's a tough somebody, man. That dude is a tough somebody. And he was taking them licks. And he was dishing them out, too. But that one hit he took on the back of his scapula right there, oh, that's the one I was like, uh-oh. And you saw him just lay there for a second, like, hey, all right, y'all get me up off this damn ground. I mean, he's a tough guy, played well, ran hard, 320 yards as a team rushing the football. That ain't nothing to
speak of. He must have had half of them.
He had 156, that was 320, man. So, I mean, this dude put it on his shoulder, 3 rushing touchdowns. But, yeah. Good start for Coach Keys in Tech.
Not a lot of times you lose the turnover battle 3-0 and win the game.
Yeah, man. And I think that was the ultimate thing. Colorado couldn't capitalize on it. They got some great defense plays. Tech was really loose with the football, and they had opportunities, if you're talking about Colorado, to build this lead. And they just – shout out to the Tech defense.
Yep.
That, you know, they were – that the sudden change and everything, they were able to hold up and not allow any points on them.
Tech wins, Georgia wins as well. Here's one of the highlights from that on Saturday.
Dwight Phillips comes back in. Stockton fakes the swing and now does go to Zachariah Branch. Turns the corner. Branch up to the races. Gone for 6 from 47 yards out. Welcome to Athens. Woo.
He got gone.
Yeah, he's pretty fast.
He got gone.
Pretty fast. One of the transfers in the offseason, playmaker from USC. Just get the ball in his hands.
Yes.
He goes. That was one of the many touchdowns that Georgia scored on Saturday. They did exactly what we thought they would do. Get a big old lead.
Yep.
Put some of the second and third guys
in.
45-0 in the fourth quarter and was what it was.
A lot of young players, man. A lot of freshmen. This football team is so young. But I'm telling you, man, that offensive line, and I know it's Marshall, but I'm talking about them dudes are so damn big and so athletic, Andy. I mean, they pull in there. I mean, they can do so many different things, but they're still so young, and they got to keep growing and all those things. And just like you said, the whole zone read, whatever you want to call it, with Gunnar Stockton, it was more or less because of how bad they were on Marshall's side. Like, it looked, to me, it looked uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah. None of it. Was like
it wasn't fluid.
Wasn't fluid.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
it was a little. It worked.
Yeah,
but it wasn't fluid. He runs like a service academy quarterback.
A little bit,
you know.
But that's what I'm saying.
Balls up here.
But when they try, but
knees
remember,
are high.
You remember that was
fine. But
and I know it was not a lot of time to get ready for it. But that was the thing when we went against Notre Dame is that he's going to be able to run the football and all those different things. Right. And every time he pulled the ball, it was 4 Notre Dame guys in his face.
Right.
So it's
probably somewhere in the middle.
It's somewhere in the middle,
right? Because that Notre Dame defense was excellent.
Yes.
And that Georgia offensive line last year was not.
Yes.
And that was his first career start.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And then this was Marshall with 70 new guys.
Yes.
And, you know, it is what it is. I think. At the very least, you had to put some of that stuff out there to keep Tennessee guessing.
Yes.
Keep Tennessee honest.
Right.
Tennessee with a nice win, too.
Yes.
Now, that Syracuse moved the ball good. Like, yep. We knew they would. They just turned it over when they got close to the end zone and couldn't score. But, Joey Aguilar looked good. Nice Nice, I'd say a program win for Tennessee.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's what the offense is supposed to look
especially
like.
Especially when you think about what all the whole offseason basically was about them and this kid leaving who looked like straight cheeks out there against Utah. And Utah just bombarded, beat down.
I know that I know Kalen DeBoer probably is the headliner for bad weekend week one. Nico Iamaleava, bad offseason.
Yeah, dog. It's been rough.
Played it poorly.
Yes.
Ended up in a worse spot and got smoked week one.
Utah just put foots all up in them, man. But, that was a nice win. Tennessee, are they better than I thought they were? I think they're about the same.
We'll have to see. You'll see in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see what Georgia really is in 2 weeks. Because Tennessee's defense is still really good.
Uh-huh.
We're still really, really good. I mean, and we talked, I think we might have mentioned it off the air, is potent as you want to say the Tennessee offense was. That was about Dylan Sampson last year.
Sure.
About them handing the football off, running with it. And
well, last year was such a run the ball, play defense identity.
Yes.
Very kind of counter to what it had been under Heupel thus far, where they love to throw it. This looks a bit more like that, a bit more traditionally Tennessee with Heupel.
Right.
I think it's one game against Syracuse.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Fran Brown fly home from Atlanta stinking, you think?
Whatever.
Because he doesn't shower after they lose.
Oh, really?
Only winners get washed.
Oh, I mean.
You don't remember that from last year?
I do remember that. And I'm like, I didn't believe when he said it.
It's a long flight.
I didn't believe that when he said it.
Long flight to be making your old team smell you.
Yeah,
although he didn't play.
He didn't play, but maybe he still gets sweaty.
Yeah, I would think so. It's inside. Climate controlled. I don't know. let's hear Raheem Morris as the Falcons have their first game of the year on Sunday against Tampa right here in Atlanta. Talking about Darnell Mooney.
He's day to day, I don't know, but I feel good about where he's at, and we'll see towards the end of the week, and we'll see towards the end of this weekend, working into whatever we got to work into. I don't know if anybody's ever 100% in the National Football League, so you don't want to say that, but it's always about how can he best perform and can he help us win this football game without furthering any other issues.
Didn't sound very optimistic.
What the hell did he do?
Also, didn't it seem like the closest you're going to be to 100% would be now?
Yeah. But what did he do? I know he hurts. That was the shoulder. But
landed on it.
I know, but damn, did he break something? Sprain something? I don't know. But
we'll find out Wednesday.
We know this. He's not going to be out for a long time because he's on the active roster. He's on the 53.
Right.
And so if it's not this week, it'd be next week or whatever. So he's on the 53-man roster, meaning not PUP, nothing like that. So I have no clue what's going to happen with him. Tomorrow's the big work day. We usually Tuesday get a little bit of the game plan, but then tomorrow the bulk of the first second down goes in and then so on and so forth.
Well, and they have to put out an injury report tomorrow too.
Yeah, and so, but still don't have this put out or not.
Right.
Yeah.
But if he practices and you have to identify, I guess you don't have to say exactly what it is or if he had something done to it or whatever.
Yeah, just
you
shoulder.
Just say shoulder.
Yeah, just say shoulder.
Which is what it's been the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. It would be really great if Darnell Mooney could play.
Yes.
That's my hot take on this one.
Yes.
It would be really nice to have as many seasoned members of the offense available on Sunday.
But how much can he go, though?
That's a good point, too. That's a good point, too. How much is he even going to help?
The first day we were out
there? It was the first day of training
The first day we were out there.
Now, he practiced a little bit last week, but what all is he going to be able to do? I'm just saying, I don't know. And maybe Penix is more comfortable with Casey Washington.
Maybe.
He's thrown it to him a lot more.
Yeah, they were on the last year and this year and everything. Yeah.
So I don't know. The Braves played a bunch of games over the weekend.
Ew.
They were all close,
and
they won one of them. That's what I got.
That's pretty much it.
What
was that stat?
A couple extra innings, losses.
I think Grant had it this morning, most one-run losses since – whenever for the Braves.
That's right. Because remember, that was a thing early in the year with all the one run games.
Yeah.
Kind of lost sight of that one.
Yeah. But all right.
Okay.
That's all I can say. They're playing the Cubbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strider looked fine.
Better.
He looked okay. Still not striking anybody out, but he looked better. Chris Sale looked really good.
Yeah. That was a good sign.
Yeah.
That was a good sign right there. Michael still playing well. Yeah. Ozzie's hitting the ball well. This damn young Brook catcher, man. I'm telling you, boy. They got something in this guy. Other than that, I don't know, man. Ronnie got a hitch in his giddy up, man.
Mm.
Especially when he's tracking in the outfield and having to go forward and trying to slow down. He got a little hitch there, man.
It just looks like he's not interested in going full bore into the ball, which fine.
Yeah, but you could tell that when he's trying to slow down, it's like,
It takes a few extra steps.
It takes a few extra steps for him to slow down.
He's not trying to plant.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Atlanta United won a game. First road win of the season.
Yeah, man. Get you some.
That's
crazy,
no,
that's not good.
Man.
But they went up to Nashville.
College football started, and they won their first. LSU and Atlanta United have the same amount of road wins this year. That's crazy. Yeah, what a joke. Oh, all right. What else is going on? The Dream won two games over the weekend.
Yeah, could clinch a playoff spot. I mean,
they clinched a playoff spot.
They clinched? Oh, they did clinch. That's what I was, can't clinch. Oh, yeah. They clinched a playoff spot. Good for them. We talked about them last week. They're one of the best teams in the W. Now, obviously, there's levels to the W as far as team wise, but I mean, they're right in there, and hopefully. They can get this thing going because, I mean, the way the damn Aces are playing now, and and we know about Minnesota, and obviously Stewie's coming back in New York, so they're going to have their hands full, but good for them ladies for right now.
It's shaping up to be a really good fun run headed into the playoffs, and again, like, you know, they kind of rebuilt this thing, and they're having a really good year, so hopefully this is the first of many good years in a row for the Dream as they clinch a playoff spot. The Falcons announced their captains as well. Jesse Bates, Caden Ellis, Chris Lindstrom, Jake Matthews, Michael Penix, and Bradley Pinion.
Okay.
Those guys will be the captains.
Yeah, I mean, you got your dudes up there, man. And good for Michael and good for his teammates for, you know, quarterback, you automatically assume that he's going to be one of the captains. But it seems like to me.
When is the starting quarterback not?
You remember it was a big thing when Cam wasn't. Remember Cam wasn't a captain? I think his first year or something like that. People tried to make it a big deal. I never did. But no, I mean, for the most part, every team I've been on, the quarterback, except for 1 year, we had a new quarterback. Nobody knew him. Nobody actually liked him either. But, you know.
Maybe that's part of it.
It's one of those things like, this guy?
Not captain material.
Yeah.
And now you get the cool C on your jersey, too. Get a little patch.
This guy?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Then if you win the Walter Payton Award, you get that patch.
That's the coolest one right
there. That's the
patch. Yeah, that's the coolest
one right there. That's the patch you're looking for. All right. Mike Conte is going to join us next. Penn State won. I don't know if it was convincing enough, but they won. We'll get his thoughts on everything that happened in college football over the weekend. And, of course, Atlanta United with a win, which is good. Got to at least mention it because we haven't talked to him about Atlanta United in 3 months. So we'll say something good about it. And the Falcons play on Sunday, so we'll do that too. Thanks for being with us. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle as it is week one in the National Football League. Game one of the season right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game coming up on Thursday between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Pregame at 7, kickoff at 8:15. Falcons, of course, on Sunday as
Man. It is here. And not like this new thing where the NFL is playing on every damn night. There's a game Friday night also. In Brazil.
That's right.
And so, yeah.
Are they playing Saturday or not?
That's what I was thinking. I don't think they took Saturday the way over yet. We had to wait till like December. And then it's like, you know, it's a playoff game, but we're going to – Yeah, NFL don't care.
Yeah, now they would play 7 days a week.
If they could,
If they could.
If they could, they
should. And maybe someday they will.
Yeah.
365 days
practice.
A year. No practice, just play. It doesn't matter. Player safety, though. All right, let's get Mike Conte in here. We'll talk a bit about the Falcons as we go along in the segment, but a lot to get to. Mike, how are you?
Good, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Let's start with your headline from week one in college football. If you had to just sort of circle in on one thing that stood out to you the most – in the first week of college football, what was it?
Way too many overreactions.
So much.
Defenses clearly ahead of the offenses. That's my big headline.
Which is always a true thing.
That's a great non-overreactionary headline.
Yeah.
Which is always a true
thing. And it happened everywhere. It happened in Ohio State, Texas. It happened in Notre Dame, Miami until it really opened up at the end. I was watching that South Carolina, Virginia Tech game for a long time on Sunday and thinking, wow, I mean, these defenses are just completely ahead of the offenses right now. So that's why, like, I'm here's another headline. None of the contenders did anything to damage their resumes.
I agree.
You know, Texas was competitive. Notre Dame was competitive. Clemson was competitive. They're fine. You know, there will be a huge overreaction. I'm sure when we get the polls today, you're probably going to see LSU at 1 or 2. I think that is absurd. But they're going to get a lot of credit because they won a game at Clemson. Ohio State should be unanimous number one. I think that's deserved. But I didn't see anything this past weekend that made me think, boy, that's a team that everyone really expected something from, and they just don't have it. I think this is still going to evolve over the next couple of weeks. And I also think, too, because we have such a short memory, a month from now, we'll probably forget all about what happened in the Clemson-LSU game or the Notre Dame-Miami game or even Alabama-Florida State. And I would even say Alabama has not done enough to damage anything significantly about their goals for this season. It is a road loss in a non-conference game. Their margin for error is probably a little bit thinner now, but it's a road loss in a non-conference game, and we don't know yet how good Florida State is.
Right.
Florida State, I mean, the one thing I think we can say about the ACC is that's going to be a more competitive conference than I think we gave them credit for. It's going to be a top-heavy conference. I mean, I think we saw the bottom, like Wake Forest almost lost to Kennesaw State.
Adam.
North Carolina got embarrassed. Like the bottom of the conference, NC State should have lost to East Carolina. The bottom of the conference isn't very good, but the top of the conference, Miami, I still have Clemson up there. Now Florida State enters that picture. SMU has been in the picture. That's a pretty robust top group. And, you know, Georgia Tech probably on the fringe of that. Overcame a lot of mistakes to get a road win. That's fine. My opinion doesn't change about Georgia Tech. So no real big losers this weekend, in my opinion. A lot of big winners, Ohio State probably being the biggest one.
What did you think about last night? Because I've always been under the, you know, like greatness brings haters. Greatness brings haters, and he's one of the greatest ever do it. And so when it doesn't go well, it's like everything is an avalanche of on Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I was under the impression where I didn't know how good they were considering all the new players that they had.
Correct.
Right? And the only thing I can laugh about now is that Michael Jordan's not going to fly his not going to get on his private plane from Capri anymore to come to Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are you surprised at all by what happened?
No, not at all. Not at all. And plus, if you look at, like, the forensics of what happened, TCU had at least one pick six or, like
– One pick six, one scoop and score.
Yeah, and a scoop and score. So, I mean, that's 14 points right there. That's kind of an anomaly. Just like Florida State, I don't think we really know how good TCU is. And this is something that really annoyed me during the playoffs last year. Oh, well, Indiana doesn't belong because they got blown out by Notre Dame. SMU doesn't belong because they got blown out by Penn State. You're demeaning Penn State and Notre Dame when you make those arguments. Don't demean TCU by making this all about North Carolina. And Randy's 100% right. Like, I think there are a lot of people lining up hoping that Belichick will fail because he's Bill Belichick and he's a curmudgeon and all of that. But I didn't have very high expectations for North Carolina to begin with.
Yeah.
Belichick
gets... I don't know why anybody did.
I don't know why anybody did.
If anybody did.
I'll tell you what. If Belichick gets the team I saw last night into a bowl game, if he gets six wins out of that group, he's an even better coach than I think we all realize because they don't have a lot of talent right now.
Well, that's what we talked about on Friday. It was like there's so much movement in college football these days, but, you know, sometimes there's guys that you've seen at other places, and you saw it all across the weekend. I was like, oh, Squirrel White plays there now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, look at Justice Haynes.
Yeah.
Alabama would have loved to have
played
Justice
really
Haynes.
He was really good. He was really good.
Dude, that guy was really absolutely off for me.
Yes.
He got me 75 fantasy.
He was really good.
He was so good. But you see it. But then other times, and this, I'm not saying I know every player that transfers, but sometimes you see a transfer class and it's like, well, I haven't really heard of any of those guys. And that was the case at North Carolina. It's like, yeah, they have a lot of new faces, just like a lot of teams do.
Yep.
But none of those guys were, and trust me, I had heard of some of them because many of them came from Washington's defense last year, along with Steve Belichick. So I wasn't super surprised to see their defense look like they did last night.
Right.
But like, I don't know. It was obviously a fun, easy headline topic for people to glom onto, but I don't know why anyone would have thought it would have looked much different than it did.
I think it really only works when you hit the portal as hard as North Carolina hit it. I think it really only works if you get an obscene amount of players from one school.
Like Indiana did, yes.
With Indiana last year, with James Madison, a contending school, and they all came with. I thought that would work better for Southern Miss with all those Marshall players. Now, you know, they played an SEC team, so maybe hold that thought on Southern Miss. And if we're talking about Southern Miss this early in the segment, perhaps we should move on to something else. But I think that only works.
That's the college football's back, baby. We're talking about Southern Miss.
I think it only
this
works.
Is great.
If you get 10 or 15 guys who all played together the year before, that's where it would really make a tangible impact.
Alabama. We talk about panic button, and it's there, right, Flo?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't,
I
know, sometimes you sit back and just want to turn on the ball-headed man with the glasses show just to hear it.
I want to hear what he has to say.
You know what? I was in the car. I said, let me just see what they're saying. It's panic. It's DEFCON down there, right?
It's ridiculous.
When you say, Mike, the fourth quarter wasn't over yet, and they were talking about buyout.
It's absolutely ridiculous, which, by the way, is $70 million. So have fun with that. You know, there is kind of a serious component to this, okay? And I think this is something that's going to protect coaches like Kalen DeBoer and other coaches who have big buyouts. And if Jimbo Fisher were maybe 5 years later at Texas A&M, he might still be coaching there, and here's why. You're a booster, and now you have the option. Do I sink my money into NIL, or do I sink my money into a buyout?
Mm-hmm.
The smart play is to sink it into NIL.
Right.
Because Kalen DeBoer is a good coach.
Yes.
Okay. He didn't forget how to coach on the flight from Seattle to Tuscaloosa. Okay. I think the critique of him, I get it, because Alabama has a level of expectation, and Florida State was so dreadful last year, and I get it. I understand the frustration. But here's the thing. In 3 weeks, Bama could go into Athens and upset Georgia, and no one is even going to be talking about what happened on Saturday. And I think, you know, again, if I'm one of those big Bama boosters and I'm looking at, is my $1 million check going to go further in the NIL realm or the coach buyout realm, I'm sinking it all into NIL.
Yeah, no, we asked Kirby about that, not like that, but sort of in the summer. It was like, there's so many, so much continuity in coaching staffs in the SEC.
Yeah.
All the same head coaches, almost all the same offensive and defensive coordinators. And he was like, yeah, they can't afford to buy them out.
Well,
like, and they have to give the money to the kids.
Here would be the other problem for Bama. Who would you go after if you fire Kalen?
Because I'm like,
probably the flavor of the week is Mario Cristobal. What's his buyout at Miami?
Right.
And what are you going to have to pay him now to make that jump from Miami? Or is Dabo going to be the flavor of the week and bring him back home? Or is James Franklin, who's never beaten a top 10 anyone, going to be the flavor of the week? And what's the buyout there? So it's not just the $70 million buyout. It's probably another $50 million on top of it to bring in the new coach.
Right.
Again, I'd rather put my guys on the field, you know, and pay it in NIL and get the most talented team possible.
Well, and that's the thing that makes it complicated, too. And again, it's week one. They can win their way out of this very easily in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Alabama can. But just like last year with Billy Napier, it was like they're bringing in pretty good players.
Yeah.
Like Alabama's got really good-looking recruiting classes over the next couple of years. That's one thing that, even though he's lost 5 games already of the however many, 14 or something that he's coached at Alabama, which is pretty crazy. They haven't dropped off in recruiting. They had that dip when they lost some guys transfer portal wise when Saban left, but they've done a pretty good job of keeping that ball rolling. So, and maybe the argument would be, well, it's Alabama. Like, guys are going to come. We have the money to pay them. Whatever.
Well, I don't know if that's the case
anymore. I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is either. But that they would say that that's why it's continued post Saban and the winning hasn't and that still has. But yeah, I mean, $70 million and a bunch of good recruiting classes in the pipeline, like. Not buying this guy out.
No.
Plus,
no,
again,
I think it'd be incredibly short sighted. If you do that, then you're Auburn.
One.
Yes.
If you do that, then you're Auburn. And how has that worked out for
because
Auburn?
Because the thing about it was when they did hire Harsin. Remember, they brought Harsin. Everybody was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yep.
From Boise State. What? He don't know nothing about this. And it was proven to be right.
Right.
I always say this about DeBoer. He wasn't never the first job. He never was. I don't know who they want. They wanted Dan Lanning. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But Oregon's like, no.
Well, they probably wanted Kirby.
There was no way.
That was unrealistic.
Was
but I'm sure at the very tippy top of the wish list like Kirby.
That was never going to happen. Right?
No.
But I think the thing with Alabama is, you know, you never want to be the man to replace the man.
It's funny because Ray Perkins had a lot of good teams, but he's always remembered as the guy after Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Bill Curry had a lot of good teams. He's the guy after Bear Bryant. He's always won a national championship.
He did.
And got fired a couple years later because he wasn't Bear Bryant either. I think there's something to be said for continuity, but again, I'll restate it. money goes further in NIL now than coach buyouts. And I hope that's a message that's heard around the country, not just in Tuscaloosa.
What program went from, I don't know, wherever they were before their game played over the weekend? Maybe they're in the middle, maybe they're down on their team, whatever, to the highest. Like, who had the biggest vibes boost in
other than
one?
Florida State, which
might
I think
be the
is,
that
is,
might be the answer.
I think you almost have to put that to the side because that's such a huge, huge deal for them and that program. Wow, that's a good question. I was really, really impressed with Ole Miss. Close ball game at halftime and just completely opened a can in the second half on Georgia State.
But damn quarterback.
I think we had high expectations for Ole Miss, and it's a little hard to gauge against that level of competition. Abe tells me in my ear, Auburn. I'll go with that. I thought that was a solid win.
Auburn fans are happy with that.
I don't think we know who Baylor is, though. No. You know, that's the tough thing. It's really – But to Abe's point, and I guess I'll try to advance it. Auburn now is a top 25 program, based on that win. And coming into the season, we thought maybe they were 40-50.
Yes,
so that's a big jump too. Florida State though should be ranked.
Florida State should be ranked today. Better be.
You know, I don't trust these pollsters.
It's all very silly. All the numbers that were in front of their names last week mean nothing because no one had played.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you saw them play against, good competition, some of them.
Although all these people want to drop Penn State from 2 to 11 because they didn't beat, Notre Dame or LSU or, Clemson or Texas. Like, there is a little bit of fairness, too. Like, Penn State was one vote away from being first in the AP poll.
They won by 35.
I saw a guy locally who ranked them number one preseason and dropped them to number three. I don't.
All right.
They did what they were supposed to do. Yeah. I mean, I don't like that they played Nevada, and they were not mistake-free by any stretch, and we could go for a long time on this segment for me to complain about how Penn State played. But, I mean, how do you drop a team two spots for winning by 35 points? I don't understand that.
I wouldn't.
I
wouldn't drop them.
I think also the ESPN machine is starting to crank up a little bit on the LSU train. And, I look at everything that network does with skepticism because they're in a business relationship with the Southeast.
Right.
Nobody's happier than Paul Feinbaum, though, that he gets to open the phone lines about Kalen DeBoer today.
And not
talk about the proclamations that he made about Arch before the season.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's Tim Tebow and all that.
Archie still could be.
Of course.
He made a
totally
couple throws.
But if we're going to overreact to one thing.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
But in fairness to Arch, he made a couple throws in that game where I was like, wow, that is an NFL throw right now. He made a couple not-so-great decisions, and Ohio State was very, very game. Mm-hmm. But I'm not closing the book on Arch Manning yet.
Oh, we just talked about college football for 15 minutes.
Atlanta United won, and they had a great performance in Nashville. Right. Ronald Hernandez scored, and that was terrific.
Hell yeah.
And I think
Road win.
First of the year. And I think the Falcons game on Sunday is going to be a doozy.
I agree.
There, we covered all our bases.
Tuesday we'll react to the Falcons game next week. I don't know, but you don't get to talk as much college football as you'd like to.
I know, and I love it. I couldn't contain myself.
It was great. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will get into an NFL no huddle as it is week one in the National Football League. We'll get back into a bunch of the college football storylines, some of the hot takes, some of the overreactions at 12:20 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What you heard right there was the power of audio. And audio is what we do at Odyssey. That true crime podcast you spent hours listening to, we produce that. That radio station where you discovered your favorite artists, that's our station. That weird playlist of bongo music, we ain't judging. One of our curators made that. Advertise with Odyssey. We can get your message in front of a broad or targeted audience. Visit ads.odyssey.com.